Let us pray. O God, may your holy word and the hunger of our hearts meet and lead us ever more deeply into your heart. Amen. For several years, a woman had been having trouble getting to sleep at night because she feared burglars entering her house. One night, her husband heard a noise in the house. So he went downstairs to investigate. And when he got there, he did find a burglar. "Oh, good evening," said the man to his intruder. "I'm so pleased to meet you. I'm so glad you're here. Would you come upstairs, please, and meet my wife? She has been waiting for you for 10 years. Worry can be crippling, right? And in this passage from Matthew, the word worry is all through it. And sometimes another version that I like almost better is it translates to anxiety, which we may know is anxiety is just a fancy word for fear. A better translation of that word worry as it applies in that section would be to be over preoccupied with something. So listen to some of these verses again with that simple substitution, preoccupation instead of worry. "Therefore I tell you, do not be preoccupied with your life, what you will eat or what you will drink or about your body, what you will wear. And why are you preoccupied with clothing? Consider the lilies of the field. So do not be preoccupied with tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring preoccupations of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today." I love how straightforward these verses are. Some parts of the Bible are really confusing and complicated, but not here. This is really clear. It's one of those passages that cannot be interpreted, in all these many different ways. Jesus says it clearly. Don't worry about the basics of life. Seek first the kingdom, and all of these things will be added. It's important to point out that he isn't saying don't care for these things, or that you should ignore these things. Jesus is not saying that these tangibles, the clothing, the food, and the drink of our lives, are unimportant. On the contrary, they are important, and so he provides them for us. It's our preoccupations with them that he warns against, keeping them in perspective. Don't worry about them, is what he's saying, and there's a big difference. And then he tells us how not to worry. "But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." I learned those words in a song. I don't know if you learned them. "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Anyone else know that? "And his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you." Alleluia, alleluia. Yeah, I think it might actually be in our hymnal. Such a lovely song. And so the question before us is, how do we keep all these competing interests on our lives in proper proportion, knowing what merits our attention and how much of it, and what we should prioritize and what we should let go? I have a friend who makes a habit of starting her day with prayer. And one day, when things were particularly hectic, her 4-year-old son said to her, "Mommy, I don't think you've prayed yet today because you are acting awfully crazy." And he was right. She told me that she had hurried her way. There was so much in her day, she just hurried into her day without praying first as she normally did. Seeking God's kingdom first is really a matter of priorities. And while it might sound like a simple saying, well, it actually is quite simple, put God first. Still, it's not that easy. This is not Jesus's power of positive thinking. It's not offering a glib platitude. This is not a formula for how to get all we want in life. Remember that last sentence of the section, "Today's trouble is enough for today." Jesus knows the daily struggle. In fact, that entire Sermon on the Mount, all three verses there, are a blueprint for what life in God's kingdom looks like. And that's why at the very beginning of chapter 6, Jesus teaches us to pray. That's where we get the Lord's Prayer, where he invites us to say, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, seeking the kingdom. And remember that the context of the Middle East 2,000 years ago, people truly lived day to day and day by day without refrigeration and preservatives. They did gather their food daily, which is why this prayer from Jesus invites us also to pray, give us this day our daily bread. So tend to your daily duties, yes, and know that God is providing for you in big and small ways, because the kingdom of God is not some faraway, distant thing in the past or the future or in heaven. It's life right now, lived in relationship with God and with each other as his reflection of his love for us. When we are aware of the kingdom of God all around us, then we will be driven by a sense of hope rather than worry. In this way, our faith is not something that's just tacked onto our lives. An hour on Sunday morning at 218 Main Street, it's not the red telephone to God who, like a superhero, will swoop in and fix us and save us whenever we're in trouble. No, rather our Christian lives are defined by Christ, who reorients our lives to God's purpose, God's values, God's priorities. It's giving up our trust in our own resources and opening ourselves to God and to the people that God gathers together as his church, and committing ourselves together to living lives which look different, more generous, more compassionate than others might. There are a host of ways to handle our worries. Self-help, psychologists, coaches of all sorts have practices and approaches to offer us, each with their own angle and their own emphasis. And yet, even all of these need a center or foundation, whichever image works for you, a center or a foundation. And I think Psalm 139 is just that. All the layers of worry and anxiety and fear are wrapped around who we are in our core as a beloved child of God for whom Christ died. Psalm 139 says, God, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. And not only has God made us, but he searches our hearts and he knows them perhaps better than we know ourselves. So there is nowhere we can go where God is not waiting for us. Wherever our worries take us, whether literally or in our minds, God knows and God goes. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O God, and know my anxious thoughts. Boy, that's a good prayer to pray, isn't it? The story goes about Sam, who after 30 years of building houses for Ben, who was a property land developer, Sam then announced that he wanted to retire, buy some land, build a small little house for his wife and himself. Sam had hoped that after 30 years of working for Ben in this company, that he would get a large bonus for all his years of service. And instead, when Sam went to Ben to say he was retiring, Ben asked him if he would actually not retire just yet, but build one more house. And so he gave Sam plans for a lovely house located on a choice piece of land with a beautiful view. And he told him it was for a really important person, so he should just do his best work. Well, but Sam was hurt and resentful that he did not receive a large bonus for his years of service and instead was given one more job. And so he had a chip on his shoulder during the building and his work was shoddy. He ignored details and he even substituted inferior materials so that he could pocket the difference of the cost. Then when the house was finally built and finished, there was a big celebration, a grand opening of the house. And then Ben gave Sam his envelope as a parting gift. At last, my bonus, Sam thought. And he opened it. There was no check in the envelope. Instead, there was a key and a note which said, "For everything you have done, the house is yours." When we worry and we draw inward, we place like a barrier between us and God so that we will probably miss what he is doing right around us. When we are preoccupied with the wrong things like resentment and anger and hurt, we will miss the mark and we will miss the blessings that God may have placed right in front of us and the blessings that God has placed in our inmost being. It sounds simple. And maybe some days it is simple, but it can also be hard to trust Christ and his promise of a better life with him at the center. I want to close with the writings of Steve Timm, who did a tour of duty in the Iraq War, and something he wrote about this passage. This is what he says. "Going to war and back is like pressing a reset button on your priorities. I suppose it's like surviving a serious illness. Some things then just don't seem so important. Who cares if the road has a pothole, as long as it doesn't blow up on you when you drive over it? Other things now are more important. Just ask my kids how many hugs they've gotten since I've come home. Why should it take war or an illness to put things in perspective for us? I'd like to believe that it doesn't have to, that we can read these words of Jesus and accept them. I'd like to believe that we can get our priorities straight. I'd like to believe we could seek his kingdom first and not get wrapped around the axle, as soldiers like to say about the rest. We should be able to see what's important without needing to be shot at first, shouldn't we? The only way for us not to worry is to trust that God has indeed provided for all our needs. Sometimes that's hard to see. Still, we need to trust God enough to put him first." Amen.